Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for The Viking Age. Before we get started, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at The Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, joining the show today is Adam Carlson. He's been a longtime writer and editor for us here at The Viking Age, and he's a frequent guest on this podcast. So welcome back to the show, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me back. It's always nice to talk Vikings football any chance I can get. And to be honest, I kind of enjoy hopping around a couple podcasts here and there. I'm always surprised at how many Minnesota Vikings-themed podcasts are out there and how many great points of view there are. As much as I love the Purple People podcast, which I host and do it weekly, the Viking Age podcast is fantastic. And there are even other sites out there that do wonderful work on podcasts. So it's something for everybody.
There's a lot to choose from where, you know, find people that you agree or disagree with. All right. Before we get into some draft talk, let's talk about a topic that for some reason causes a bunch of commotion in the Vikings community. And that would be Kyle Sloter. Now, the former Vikings backup quarterback was released by the Raiders the other day. So he's free to sign with any team now. With Minnesota currently figuring out who is going to be their number two quarterback for next season, I recently suggested that the Vikings should bring Sloter back just to compete for the role, not just hand it to him or whatever, just to compete. So what are your thoughts on my suggestion? Would you be against the Vikings bringing Sloter back to be Kirk Cousins' backup for next season?
Absolutely not. I mean, I sat through the Sean Mannion period. Yeah. I got to see him try to throw his first NFL touchdown. Didn't happen. So, yeah, I'm on board with anything that would give the Vikings a chance to win. And if that player sitting behind Kirk Cousins is a player that we know isn't going to be able to come in and win a game or two,
yeah,
if Kirk Cousins is out, then there's no point in having him back there. I'd rather have a question mark than a sad face. That's how I'm working.
Yeah, the Vikings know what they're getting with Sean Mannion. It's a whole lot of, not a whole lot of on-field value. Maybe he has more off-field value in the locker room, in the meeting room, but that doesn't really matter when, you know, if Cousins gets hurt and you need someone to fill in for a couple games. Not that Cousins gets hurt. He's one of the most durable quarterbacks in the league, but this is football, and you always have to take that, you know, account for that, because football is the most violent sport in the world. Maybe not second to UFC.
I don't know. I watched a slap fight last night on TV.
Maybe the most violent team sport. we can go with that. But do you have any idea why just mentioning the name Kyle Sloter seems to just set some people off so much? I mean, no one is asking him to come and be the starter. So I just don't really understand the pushback at all. There's people that just go crazy if you mention his name on Twitter for some reason, because I don't know, like he like peed in their cereal or something. I don't know why it causes such commotion. Do you have any idea about this?
He's another in a very long line of backup quarterbacks that everyone wants to believe in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are some backups out there that you could probably put some stock in. Taylor Heineke's going to get a chance to do something somewhere. And I don't know what that's going to be. At the very least, it's a backup role, which is exciting for him. Kyle Sloter is just like a lot of the other players that Vikings fans have pounded the table for. And yeah, it didn't happen. I got to sit through the John David Booty phase.
Yeah.
People wanted Booty to have a chance to start. And it's like, I get it. You want the team to be able to draft a quarterback, develop them, and be a franchise guy. We all want that. But it's not that easy.
No. And there's been some undrafted guys that have panned out well. You look at Tony Romo. He turned out to be pretty decent. And there's some other guys, too, as well. So it's not going, turning to the draft isn't always the, you know, just easy solution. I think someone would, you know, like Slaughter, who is familiar with, like, the at least the basic concepts of the Vikings offense, because he was with them in 2017 and in 2018. They're running similar schemes.
Wasn't there some animosity, though, when Slaughter left? Where Slaughter was mad that he wasn't getting opportunities
I think you're gonna have that with anyone who gets let go.
Well, internally, yeah, but not a lot of players are gonna be vocal about it.
Yeah, and we don't know what went on in the field or the practice field or whatever, or in the locker room, and sometimes, you know, people just get frustrated and they say those things, and sometimes people like Mike Zimmer like to see that out of players too, like
sure.
they care to, you know, air their grievances or whatever. And I mean, he stuck around with the Vikings for 2 years, so I don't think he could have been that bad, or else they, you know, wouldn't have kept him around for even that long. But if the Vikings don't bring back Slaughter or Sean Mannion to be their backup quarterback for next season, it looks like the role will be given to either Nate Stanley or Jake Browning, two guys who have never thrown a pass in a meaningful NFL game. Nate Stanley hasn't even thrown a pass in a preseason game because he was a rookie last year.
Right.
Are you comfortable with either of these two being the backup next season, or would you like Minnesota to go after a more established veteran to be the number two guy behind Cousins?
I'd prefer an established backup, but maybe not a high-profile one.
Right.
Maybe one that's won a couple games and has some experience, but you don't have to pay a top-tier backup to come in and play under Kirk Cousins. You don't really have to do that. But I also wonder how much drafting a quarterback to be the backup at this point would make sense.
Right.
Because I don't really see it. I'm of the belief that we're going to have a Kirk Cousins extension coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get more Kirk, which is going to just fire people up even more.
Oh,
I think that's going to happen.
You don't think they're going to keep that $45 million cap hit next year, next year, that everyone seems to use as like a big talking point?
It's a lot of money, but you keep pushing it down the line, it's going to be there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to poof disappear.
Eventually, yeah, but then eventually you're going to be able to afford it, because the cap's going to just go up where, you know, you're able to afford a cap hit like that, or you trade him.
And let's be honest, too, the further you push that down the line, the more the quarterback market is going to increase, because these prices that some of these quarterbacks are drawing in their extensions are wild. And it's not just quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, who we've seen is excellent and is going to be there forever. It's quarterbacks that haven't really produced on the field, quarterbacks that I don't think have even touched the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this year you're probably going to get extensions for Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, probably Lamar Jackson, like those guys. You can argue Mayfield, but the other two I feel like probably deserve an extension. And Allen's probably a little riskier too, because he's only really had one good season. But, you know, the Bills probably feel confident that he'll do further his progression. And of course, Lamar Jackson was a former MVP, so he's going to get a nice extension.
Joe Flacco was a playoff MVP, though. The Super Bowl MVP.
You know what? He won a Super Bowl, so I think after he got that extension, people were like, whatever, he won the Super Bowl.
I think Vikings fans would be fine if Cousins won a Super Bowl and they just gave him the whole salary cap for the next year. It's like, thanks, here you are.
That's like with Foles and Wentz or whatever. Eagles fans were fine for a couple of years after they won the Super Bowl, but, you know, eventually it came to a head and they're like, all right, we need to figure something out. But we also look at, like, every offseason, people are like, well, this is the year they have to get a quarterback. There's not going to be anyone available next year. But then every year, there's always quarterbacks available either in free agency or the draft. So this assumption that, you know, the Vikings have to make a move this year in the draft, or else, you know, they're going to be out of luck next year. It's false, because every year there's quarterbacks you can find. They're everywhere. So,
and even if it's not a top prospect quarterback, there are those quarterbacks that may not have been up on top, the top five prospect when they come into the draft, but still come into the league and set the league on fire.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was pretty terrible. He was a third round pick. He's done pretty horrible
in his
career. All right, everyone. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, and guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. It is friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. We are offering up to 15% off when you use the code MINUTE15. That's MINUTE15. That's MINUTE15. So you can get 15% off your purchase by using the code MINUTE15. Head to earthechofoods.com/MINUTE Media. All right, moving on. Cordarrelle Patterson is no longer in need of a team for next season, as the former Vikings first-round pick recently signed a one-year deal with the Falcons for just $3 million. So looking at how little the Falcons are paying Patterson this year, should the Vikings regret not bringing him back, as he could have helped fix their terrible kick return unit?
Not at all, and I don't think their kick return unit's terrible.
Oh, okay.
I as I've said before on multiple podcasts, I'm team touchback.
Eliminate the need for the
turnovers, possible turnovers, the longer fields if you don't get past where you take a knee. And I understand too that teams will wise up to that and they'll short kick you and force you to start around the 24, 22, whatever. But still, I'll take that security over a gamble, because we have seen Cordarrelle Patterson fumble on kickoffs a couple of times, and that alone is hurtful. But there's also that part of me that doesn't really have a defined role for Cordarrelle Patterson. And although $3 million doesn't sound like a lot of money, to bring in a player that, they've already got a gunner.
Yeah, you can use that on a kick returner. You can use that on an offensive lineman or something.
They could use him as like a running back four, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's not a wide receiver three. He's not even really a wide receiver four.
Yeah.
I don't see the role. I don't see how he fits in what Minnesota does right now.
Yeah. We always talk about former Vikings, especially who have already played under Mike Zimmer. And I think that was someone.
Sheldon Richardson cut.
Yeah.
I like Sheldon Richardson. Cleveland was right to cut him for the $12 million.
Yes.
He's not a $12 million player.
No.
Minnesota's already got their key players in place on the interior.
Yeah, I've seen some people say the Vikings should resign him. I'm like, where's he playing? He's a starter still.
Yeah, he'll start somewhere in the league, but it won't be Minnesota.
Isn't he like the perfect Patriots player, I feel like? Like someone who's been cut.
He can squeeze in there real nice.
Brushed aside. And Belichick always gets those guys who just get released, and they still have plenty in the tank. So I could see him winning on a team like that for sure.
Absolutely.
Sticking with former Vikings, a little while ago, the Panthers made a trade with the New York Jets to acquire quarterback Sam Darnold. With the amount they gave up to land Darnold, it basically signified the end of Teddy Bridgewater's tenure in Carolina. So he'd probably either be traded or released before next season. The former Vikings quarterback wasn't terrible for the Panthers last season. He threw for almost 4,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. but the Panthers were only able to get wins in 4 of his 15 starts. So do you think Bridgewater's time as a starter in the NFL is over, or should he be given another shot to start somewhere else before coming, you know, a full-time backup for the rest of his career?
As much as I love Teddy,
yeah,
and I really do, the kid is such an electric player. Not maybe not on the football field, but his infectious attitude is wonderful. He would need a really specific offensive setup to succeed. He would need to be part of a very strong run game. He would need a strong offensive line to support that running back. He would need really shifty receivers to open things up, shorter mid-range, and a coaching staff that would help develop all that. So I don't know if a situation out there really exists for a player like him at this point.
You could look at the Saints.
Yeah.
He was already there. I mean, they have Jameis Winston. He's not a franchise type quarterback, I feel like, right now.
You got Michael Thomas running those slants.
Yes, and Teddy was already there. He filled in for Drew Brees that 1 year, and I think he was like 5-0 or whatever as a starter. So he's familiar with their system. I've heard Denver might be interested. I know Denver's interested in him, but they're not going to get him for they're not going to trade for him and pay his high salary right now. But you know George Payton's there now, and he has a connection with Teddy, and who's there? Oh, Pat Shurmur's the offensive coordinator, so he's very familiar with Teddy as well, so that's someone I feel like to keep an eye on. Andrew Locke is not really the set in stone starter, and obviously depends on what they do in the draft. But I think time is definitely running out for Teddy to be a starter. Could he? I think it'd be ideal for him to maybe just be a backup next year, or for the next few years, and then fill in, and then if he does well when he fills in, then, maybe try and be a starter again, because he's still only like 29, 30. He's still got a good amount of time left in his career. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's still chugging along as a starter.
He's a high percentage thrower in the right system, but the low touchdown output is always such a concern, because he just can't seem to get those touchdown numbers up.
Is it, do we think those are low because of the way that he plays, or like the way that the offenses that he's played in are set up? Because look at when he was with the Vikings, and Adrian Peterson was back there. So if they're around the goal line, they're not throwing the ball. They're giving it to Adrian Peterson. And I don't know how the Panthers ran their offense last year. I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to them, but that could have been the same scenario where, you get around the goal line. Look at a team like the Packers. They're probably going to throw the ball with Aaron Rodgers Devontae Adams or whatever. And but Teddy doesn't get those opportunities to throw the ball near the goal line. They just want to pound the ball in. So touchdowns, I tend to not, hold against someone so much. But, 11 interceptions, too, is not something to be quiet about.
No, you got to keep that touchdown interception ratio up. And I know people say stats aren't important, that it's how the team plays and everything. But you got to have a quarterback that can engineer an offense to get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah,
and a lot of that isn't his play calling. I know Teddy Bridgewater isn't calling his own plays at the goal line. It's just not the way the NFL works unless you're an elite quarterback.
Yeah, if you're not going to have a quarterback who's putting up monster numbers or at least above average numbers, you better make sure you have a good running game and a good defense around him, because you're going to need help to make up for what you're not getting from the quarterback, which is kind of what the Vikings had in 2015 when they went to the playoffs with Teddy as their quarterback. Right. So the other day over on the Viking Age, I listed the 6 most disappointing Vikings draft picks.
I disagree with you so bad.
Of the Mike Zimmer era. So this is a good topic to talk about then, which included Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Hughes, Pat Elflein, Scott Crichton, Trey Waynes, and Laquon Treadwell. So I kind of looked at these as like all within the first 3 rounds, because after the 4th round, I think like your expectations aren't really high enough to be disappointing. And then I factored in, injuries as I wanted to say these are disappointing rather than the worst, because I think a lot of these guys have been impacted by injuries where it just makes the right. selection more disappointing.
Mike Hughes, I wouldn't call him a bust.
Right.
Because injuries have prevented him from being on the field.
He hasn't had a chance
to be a bust.
When
he was healthy, he was pretty good on the field.
Yeah, he hasn't had a chance to be a bust. So in your mind, you don't have to take anyone from the people I included, but who has been the most disappointing Vikings draft pick of the Mike Zimmer era?
This is an easy one for me because it was a reach on draft day. It was a player that I saw as being undraftable at the time. And I'm going to bend your rule a little bit, too, on where they were drafted. Okay. But Willie Beavers.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I thought about it. I really thought about it. I'm like, but then I got to include, like, all the fourth rounders, which would be, like, TJ Clemmings and stuff. And
at least Clemmings had play that made you think,
He played. He actually played.
Yeah. Willie Beavers. What was he looking at?
Yeah, that was... They've made some odd draft picks over the years, especially when it comes to offensive line, and it rarely has worked out at all for them. So you're going to go with Willie Beavers, and then you said you had a problem with some of my suggestions. I'm going to take a guess at who you had a problem with.
You know who it is.
Which a lot of people do, but
tore you up pretty good.
I should make my case. So Trey Waynes, this is what I'm guessing you're disagreeing
with. You're right.
Okay, so Trey Waynes, he's drafted with the number 11 pick. Would you agree that with a pick like that, you should be getting a player who can at least make the Pro Bowl in their career? Would you not agree?
Not necessarily.
No? Okay. Well,
maybe I don't put much stock in the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl is different, but like, I feel like if you're taking a player, the Vikings thought they were getting the best cornerback in the draft when they went with Waynes at the 11th pick, and he did not. He has not turned out to be the best cornerback in that draft.
Well, it depends how you measure your cornerbacks.
That's true, too.
Because he stepped up in some big times and put games away, while other times he was getting beat. His coverage skills aren't much to write home about.
Right.
But in run support, he was elite.
Yeah, but I think if you're drafting a corner that high, you're not drafting him because he's a good run stopper. But, you know, maybe the Vikings did with their defense, the way it's set up and how they just don't like to get anything behind them. They'd rather keep everything in front of them. If anyone has followed my writing over the years, you're pretty familiar that I'm not the biggest fan of Trey Waynes in the world. And I said it in the blurb or whatever that I wrote about him. This isn't to say that he's terrible or he's been terrible. I just think the expectations when you're the 11th pick are very high, and I don't think he met those expectations.
Now, when you say expectations, you just mean in coverage.
Just to be the caliber of player. Like, if you're the 11th pick, I want you to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber kind of player. Like, just if you're not at that level, I just don't think then you've met your expectations. Like, then there's plenty of guys who've been drafted in the top 15 who haven't met those expectations. And also, sure. This is my opinion. Everyone's free to disagree, so I'm not gonna hold any hard feelings against anyone who disagrees with me. So
I don't understand the logic entirely, but
I also put it in there just because I know that it's going to generate a discussion, just because it's, and I also have the ability to just write it because that's what I feel, and that's why we have the nice freedom that we do with the Viking Age, because you put out an article I think today about prospects the Vikings should avoid, and there's some on there that people don't agree with you with,
one of the players that I have on there, especially that number, the last one on the list,
Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I was anticipating some pushback on
that. But he's got some concussion issues. He's had some.
The red flags are there.
He was told that he shouldn't continue his football career. So like, I think that's perfectly fine. You know, he's tested great or whatever, but. You know, a couple blows to the head and his career's over.
And so I even hurt myself on that by putting a player I love on the list.
I did see that. You put your guy, Paris Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that pro day and that year off seemed to just...
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Like a 4.9?
Yeah.
Jesus. What is he, a linebacker? Like a offensive lineman? Man.
Right.
That's not good if you're a defensive back to run nearly a 5 second... 40.
No.
But, didn't Cameron Dantzler, he ran like a terrible 40 at the combine, and then there were some issues or whatever, and at the as pro day it was much better. Obviously everyone runs better at their pro day, but
I love how some of the players talk about the fabricated times that people have on pro days, and that's got to be hard to keep track of, because without independent measurers,
yeah, this year might have been more difficult just because there's just so many people at everyone's pro days because there's no combine,
right?
But in the past, I, you know, I feel like some of those numbers are probably inflated, because, you know, if you get so many players to get drafted out of your school, then more, you're going to get more recruits. So I wouldn't be opposed to someone arguing that.
Hearing some of the people that attended his pro day say that he looked undraftable.
Oh no!
During it, it's just that hurts, because I've watched his play. I've seen him be a ball hawk, and it's just so disappointing that that's coming out.
Hey, well, we just talked about someone you thought was undraftable, and the Vikings drafted him anyway, so don't lose hope.
That's true. That's absolutely true. You never know.
All right, so heading into this year's upcoming draft, what do you think maybe is an underrated need of the Vikings that deserves more attention?
Well, we haven't had a lot of people talking about kickers.
No, we haven't.
Lately, that's been hiding.
But do you want them to spend a draft pick on a kicker?
I'll say yes.
Oh no.
Because I don't see their draft picks of kickers as being really bad. Daniel Carlson would have been good if they'd stuck with him for a little while. Yeah. Blair Walsh set team records.
Yeah.
For his kicking, especially deep kicks. Before he kind of fizzled out. So it's not like the Vikings can't draft kickers. They just don't have the patience to let them develop.
Yeah, well, that's important. Especially, I just don't think it's a good idea to bring in maybe a rookie kicker at all with Mike Zimmer on the staff still. He's not good with kickers. This isn't like breaking news. He's not patient, and kickers require patience and a little, you know, confidence from their head coach, which he did give to Dan Bailey, but I think he maybe more respected Dan Bailey for his career that
right.
he was able to do, but they still let him loose. So I think I just see the history of kickers and how many good ones have been undrafted. You know, look at, I think, was Justin Tucker drafted? I don't think he was. And Adam Vinatieri wasn't drafted. Like a bunch of good kickers were not right. drafted. So I just think There's other needs. They could go after another long snapper or something, you know, instead.
Well, the Vikings do need to look into someone who can catch punts.
Yes. That is very important. I think that is a need that needs to be addressed fairly early. I think within the first three rounds, whether it's a running back, a defensive back, or a receiver. Ideally, I think they'd probably like to get a receiver who can be the number three guy right. and return punts.
Oh, that'd be great.
But we'll see about that. Cause I think the Vikings were dead last in punt return.
Special teams was brutal.
Yeah. So that's important for a team like the Vikings who depend on field position. You know, Mike Zimmer uses that to his advantage. If he's got the opposing team starting on the 40 every time, it's not going to work out very well. Cause they're probably going to get at least a field goal out of that. So,
all right, as far as team needs, though, the one that's been baffling me that I've been seeing online, especially on Twitter, is a lot of Vikings fans seem to believe that Minnesota needs help at tight end.
Tight end.
And I'm not getting this. Are you seeing any?
Not this year. Maybe next year.
A lot of fans are pounding the table for Pitts. And it's like,
well, he's
he's a wide receiver.
He is. Supposedly he's a generational talent, and so people are just going to pound the table for those top prospects, anyways. And yes, I threw this out like a couple weeks ago. Like, is he a generational tight end, or is he just an oversized wide receiver? Because like his measurements and testing numbers are very similar to Calvin Johnson.
And his blocking on tape is not anything.
Yeah. And that's something that can get better. But yeah, obviously the Vikings would like to add him as a weapon in their offense, but he's not falling to 14, and I don't think they would trade up for him because, like you said, it's not a huge need. They would, people would be like, some people would be like, yes, they did that, and other people would be like, what are you doing?
And then you got the ones that were pounding the table for Thaddeus Moss.
Yes. I don't know if I was pounding the table. I think it's curious because he wasn't terrible in LSU, and obviously I just like the Randy Moss, my favorite player of all time. So I'm always going to be like,
now any way to
connect him to the Vikings. You know, I think, you know, get him on the Vikings, have Irv Smith give him the 84 number, and you'd be, the Vikings would be just, jerseys would be flying off the shelves.
But I don't understand the lack of faith that people have in Irv Smith and Conklin. They looked real good down the end of the line last season.
They did really well. I think people are just, they've been hearing a lot of maybe expectations or just a lot of hype around these guys, and people expect too much sometimes early in these guys' careers, and we don't realize how long it typically takes for them to develop into being like a solid player. You look at Kyle Rudolph, he wasn't that good during the first part of his career. It took him quite a while.
It took him for Christian Ponder to exit.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think fans are seeing that Kyle Rudolph left, and they think that they have to replace a lot of offensive output because of Kyle Rudolph leaving.
And but he didn't have a lot, honestly, of offensive output.
No, he didn't. If you look at his stats, what he was getting paid for was well beyond his production.
He had like 30 catches a year. Like, it wasn't a whole lot.
It was nice to have that big-bodied target in the red zone.
And the Vikings also don't pass a lot in their offense. So guys like the tight ends, who are like the fourth or fifth option on the field, they're not going to get those big numbers that some of the other tight ends, like a Travis Kelce or something like that.
True. In the red zone, Kirk Cousins seems to lock on to Adam Thielen. He loves that Thielen.
He did last year, for sure. That was a bit of a surprise to see Thielen become this red zone threat. But if that's what he's going to be, that's a good way to extend his career, for sure.
Absolutely. So on the flip, Justin Jefferson, too.
So on the flip, I guess you already answered this question, because I was going to ask you, what do you think is an important need that, or as important that some are making out to be? But you said tight end. But what do you... Michael, what about linebacker? I've seen linebacker thrown out a bunch too, like as something they could get in the first round. And I'm like, I guess I could see it because Anthony Barr has only got a year left on his deal and Eric Wilson left. But like, I think there's much more important needs to target, I feel like. What about you?
The Vikings brought in a linebacker. Yes. They've got a couple that have got some experience last year.
Yep.
So for this year, the Vikings are probably fine. But as far as a long-term answer, if they find a player that they think can be a long-term answer, they should probably go for it.
Yeah,
they probably should. I know that Cam Smith should be coming back soon. And honestly, I wasn't a big fan of that draft pick either.
Right.
But for him being able to come back healthy, maybe he can prove to me that I'm wrong on this. I love getting proved wrong, by the way. When I doubt someone, please prove me wrong.
So with the draft right around the corner, we've had a lot of time to check out all the prospects available this year. So who are just some of your favorites that you would just like to see with the Vikings next season?
If we're going down the line for some of these picks, I do think that offensive line is something that needs to be picked. Mm. I think we'll see an offense. If the Vikings take a fringe like left tackle player, that could be the team's first round pick. And there are some elite prospects there, and there should be one available on the clock when Minnesota goes, because of all the quarterbacks, wide receivers, they're supposed to go early in this draft. That will push some of those offensive linemen down. So, yeah, if Minnesota wants to get a clear left tackle for now, they probably could in the first round.
For sure. Are there any prospects you're interested in watching next season, but you're pretty sure they're not going to end up with the Vikings? So just maybe like some of the top guys that maybe you're interested in? We mentioned Kyle Pitts. Is that someone you're interested in seeing how he ends up in the NFL?
I know that he'll succeed wherever he goes.
Yeah.
As a receiver, I don't think he'll be much of a tight end.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of NFL tight ends have made a career off catching the football and not blocking or taking part on special teams.
Yeah, it'll probably be more like a Kelsey kind of tight end. Probably.
Well, Kelsey can block. We're talking like Jimmy Graham, early Saints, where he didn't block at all.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking. Uh-huh. Those finesse players. And I don't think finesse players are a good fit in a Mike Zimmer system at all.
No. No. He likes, he's old school. People rag on him for it, but he's stuck to his guns over the years. And yeah, he's not going to give you the flashy type of offense, because that's just not what fits well with his defense. He wants his defense to get rest so they can have the most, you know, energy or whatever to be on the field and make the plays. What about some of the quarterbacks? Are you like maybe Zach Wilson or Justin Fields? Like, are you curious about some of these guys?
Not the early ones, at least not from Minnesota. Yeah. Like Trask or someone like that, maybe later on.
Yeah.
But again, that all relies on how much weight Minnesota is putting into finding a decent quarterback too. And honestly, based on what they've trotted out there on the field for quarterback two of the last few years, I don't think that's one of their top concerns whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious about Justin Fields, because there's been so much, positive and negative reports on him, and I'm not so sure about the negative ones, if they're really true or they're just agents and analysts throwing stuff around to get noticed or whatever, or increase or decrease their clients' draft stock. But I'm curious to see him, and I'm curious to see Trey Lance, see how that transition goes from what FCS to the NFL. We've seen a couple players make that transition, and I'm interested in him, because he's only really had 1 year of being a starter. It was a very good year,
right?
But I'm curious to see, and he might not even play next year, but we'll have to see about that.
Another thing to watch in this draft that's going to be kind of interesting is looking at how the Vikings look to bring in competition for wide receiver 3.
Yes.
As we were talking before about Mike Zimmer not liking softer players, that excludes a lot of those shifty, smaller wide receivers that get batted around the line of scrimmage, the ones that can't really fight off the bump coverage or the press very well.
Yeah.
And we've seen that Mike Zimmer has really hesitated on drafting those smaller wide receivers to cut across the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And as much as I'd like to see one of them come in, especially if they can handle punt return duties, I'll be interested to see if some of these coaching assistants, because there have been more assistants brought in, a little bit of shifting around in the coaching system here over the last week or so. And maybe some of those new voices can help get in Zimmer's head and say, you know, we've got some value in some of these smaller wide receivers that can pick up some yardage, because there are a lot of people that still don't really understand what the bad fit was or what the problem was with guys like Jarius Wright or who was the one wide receiver the Vikings brought in for one season. He stretched the field pretty well.
Mike Wallace?
Nope. No, more recently.
I know who you're talking about. It was in 2018. What's his name? Hold on. I'm on
pro right. It's escaping me too.
I think it was Aldrick Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty good. He had 5 touchdowns.
Right. I mean, he doesn't really fit exactly what Minnesota looks for in wide receivers, but he was able to find some production. And honestly, Kirk Cousins isn't that quarterback that will usually lock on to one wide receiver. He can read the field pretty well.
Yeah.
And if he's got a streaking wide receiver, he's more than willing to throw that ball up. He's got the cannon.
Yeah, well, they took a chance, I think, feel like, on KJ Osborne last year, and obviously that didn't work, so maybe that causes them to be a little hesitant this year on a smaller receiver. But yeah, it does seem like they've been geared more towards going like the traditional size guys, like Justin Jefferson is little skinnier maybe than
he's never had a problem getting off the line of scrimmage.
Right,
he runs such good routes.
And Treadwell was like the typical prototype size that people used to look for, but that didn't really matter at all.
No.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But before I get you out of here, of course, I have to ask you your thoughts on WrestleMania this year. So what did you like the most, the least? Did you like the two-day format? You know, what are some of just your takeaways from this year's Super Bowl of professional wrestling?
I hate all the gimmicks. Gimmicks. I hate all the gimmicks. I don't want to see one of the Paul brothers. The Bad Bunny stuff.
You didn't like Bad Bunny? He did well, though, right?
Well, he was good in the ring.
It was entertaining, wasn't it? Yeah.
He worked pretty well with The Miz. And to be honest, The Miz is such a professional. Yeah. He can sell everything so well.
John Morrison, too, right?
And you could tell that they were working well together, and they put a lot of time into that performance because it was one of the better ones, probably the best one I've seen since Lawrence Taylor had his match in WWF. Yep. So, I mean, the Shane McMahon match, didn't care for that really either. Yeah. It's time to move on past that. They've got a roster full of people that they're having to let go because they don't have room for them. And then they go and they do something confusing to me as well, where they run two pre-shows with no matches, not even the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Oh, they run that on SmackDown.
I didn't even notice that.
So it's confusing that they have this time. They have this new deal with the Peacock, and they don't even do it. As far as the two-day thing went, between the just gimmick matches and the shady finishes, it was a really disappointing event. I will say this, sitting on my couch at home, I popped when Cesaro got a win, WrestleMania win. I did not expect him to get a WrestleMania win, and the fact they gave him one just blew my mind.
And now it seems like they might be pushing him.
I would love to see that happen. On the flip side of that, though, for how disappointing WrestleMania was, NXT TakeOver was straight fire.
Oh, it always is. Always. Never. I feel like it's very, very rarely.
Walter's the scariest man on the planet.
As far as WrestleMania goes, I think I watched two matches live, and the other I saw highlights or watched.
Did later. You see the Bianca Belair?
I did. Match? That's the one I watched. I actually watched it with my wife.
Who's see, she sliced her open with her hair again.
I like yelled when that happened because I heard it, and my wife's like, "That's not necessary. You don't need to do that." And I was like, "Yeah, but did you hear that?"
As soon as she did it, I'd seen her do that before in NXT. And I was like, last time she did this, the woman that she hit with her hair just started bleeding from where she was hit. And I was like, it's going to happen again. And they, sure enough,
she had a welt. I enjoyed that. It was very entertaining. It was a very predictable ending, the way that they've been pushing her so much. But I'm still happy that she was able to win. And then I saw the Fiend match, and I was like, oh, this is ridiculous.
I still don't understand the end of that. They didn't explain it whatsoever on Raw.
Well, he's like this demon who comes back alive from being lit on fire, and then he loses with an RKO. And it's like, oh.
With interference from Alexa Bliss for no reason.
Who's, bleeding black from her head or whatever. and then,
how about Babs, huh?
Babs.
Babatunde Ayegbuse.
Oh, yes.
WrestleMania debut.
Yes, we didn't even mention this. Former Vikings offensive lineman, Babatunde Ayegbuse, I think is his last name. He's been hanging around there for a while, and it seems like he might finally get a role. They tried him in that Raw Underground.
Yep, and thing. They gave him they put him into that World's Greatest Royal Rumble over in India that I thought he did pretty well in.
So it'll be interesting to see how they use him now. I think he's like Captain Aziz or something, like Commander Aziz or whatever, with Apollo Crews, which is...
And if they give him the almost role like they did for AJ Styles, this could work out real nicely for him.
Oh, yeah. That would be a very interesting matchup to see like those two go up against each other.
That'd just be power on power. Be so great to see.
We didn't even mention that a former Viking, and of course, Roman Reigns, former Viking for a few days, I think.
Still no Brock, though. He's still a free agent.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he was just taking time off or he actually was a free agent.
I know for a while he was stuck in Canada.
It's not terrible. Could be worse places to be stuck in.
Right. Because a lot of the restrictions between between countries are still in place.
And saying he's stuck in Canada, he's probably like in his mansion, like,
right,
know, his 500 acre.
He's not struggling up there.
No. So he's fine. But yeah,
but now you got me picturing Brock Lesnar sitting in like a $40 hotel.
Yeah.
He's stuck in Canada.
No, he's doing just fine living with Sable out there.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't think it was too terrible. Like there's been way worse WrestleManias. I feel like I've watched, like the one where like The Miz was the champ or whatever. I did not. Or even the John Cena Rock ones. Like I didn't really enjoy those, but there was obviously some moments out of those. But I feel like WrestleMania always has, like, it's rare where like the whole show is very good. It's more like which matches were your favorite, and you know, because they're always trying to, I feel like, push something.
Yeah, or it's a build towards a moment.
Yeah,
which you gotta think about. You're gonna get, if they're selling those NFTs or whatever they're called.
Yes, because you're gonna get the Shane McMahon match. That's just gonna happen because his dad owns the company, so he's gonna get to do whatever he wants. I'm very surprised Triple H was not in WrestleMania this year, because that always seems to be something. The Undertaker was not there. That was actually kind of surprising. So maybe he actually did actually retire.
The crowd booing Hulk Hogan was interesting.
Yeah, oh, that was very interesting, and rightfully so. So especially me dressed up as a pirate. I mean, come on, what are you doing? But yeah, that I didn't mind it. I was just, it's one of the rare, one of the few pay per views I actually, is it even a pay per view anymore, that I watch?
I do think it's pretty awesome. It streams so well on the Peacock.
Yeah,
I have real bad internet out where I'm at.
Yeah,
like really bad, because I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
so the fact that it's streamed all the way through with no interruptions for me,
yeah, they've
fantastic.
Got
fantastic.
Yeah, they've got a lot more customers than just wrestling fans, so they have to make sure that it's a pretty good product. So I'm not surprised that it streams much better.
Because there are times that I've got to stream Vikings games and it just doesn't come out very pretty at all.
Yeah, and I've heard bad things about, you know, UFC fights and on ESPN Plus and stuff, and how sometimes that isn't too great. So,
and that Fight Club promotion last night, as part of that, I wish they would have. I would have had worse internet during.
Yeah, I saw some tweets about that, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not, you know, wasting my time watching this. But that's gonna do it for us today. Thanks for joining, Adam. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
I am Emmett, MN Viking Zombie on their Twitter machines. I'm also MN Viking Zombie over on Twitch, where I'm starting to get into streaming a little bit more. I played some What the Dub the other day. Real fun social game that you can come in and play online with me. It's a lot of fun, so check it out. Also, you got my work over on the Viking Age, which is good. Every once in a while, I'll publish something over on Undead Walking, but I'm not over there as much as I used to be. But I'm always down for some conversations. So shoot me over some messages on Twitter. That's always a good place. If you want to see some pictures of my cats, I post a lot of those over on Instagram. Bernie gets a lot of likes. He's such a likable cat.
You got the Purple People podcast too, right?
We do a weekly podcast. We're going to be doing some live stuff. I don't know if it's going to be on the Discord or actually a broadcast during the draft. But right now that's kind of hinging on whether or not I get my COVID shots by that time and can go to a draft party. So we'll see how that all works out.
There you go.
But either way, I feel free to check it out. And if it's for you, awesome. If not, that's okay too.
Yeah. All right. So follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook as well. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.